Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, we are continuing our series on This Is My Song. And today's song is the Song of Hannah, and it deals with healing and affliction. How many of you have ever been afflicted before? A couple. Well, I guess this is just for two of you. The rest of you are just going to have to listen in, and hopefully you'll get something out of it. But you know, God is in the healing business, and He's still in the healing business. He healed Hannah, but He still does the impossible. God answers prayer. God did for Hannah something that no man, no doctor could do, and He gave her a baby. He gave her a baby when she had been barren, and her song is one of, God, You've healed me. You've made me whole. But friends, that wholeness was not just a physical healing. She was healed on several different levels. And we're going to take a look at those levels today. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, there are three levels of affliction. They're in your notes this morning. Three levels of affliction that Hannah was healed from. And let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, there was a certain man, his name was Elkanah. He had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. Notice, she has sons and daughters, at least two sons, two daughters. She has at least four kids, all right? At least four kids. Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. This first area of affliction that we want to take a look at this morning is physical affliction. Physical affliction, this has to deal with our physical body, sickness, disease, injury. In Hannah's case, she was barren. Her body did not function properly. She had a physical problem, and she needed physical healing, and God did heal her physically. God healed her of the barrenness. He touched her body, and He caused her reproductive organs to come to life. Whatever the problem, whether it was endometriosis, whether the eggs weren't fertile, we don't know what it was, but God did a supernatural work in her body, and He healed her. What did not work before now worked. What was broken was now fixed. What was incomplete was now whole. And friends, there may be some of you here today that you have something in your body that is broken. God can fix it. It's not working. He can make it function. There is a disease. He can remove the disease. He can make the cells, the organs, whatever it is, to function properly. God is still in the healing business. I'm a Christ follower today because of a healing I received 37 years ago. 37 years ago, I had chronic allergies. Cough 3-4 times a minute. It was horrible. God healed me supernaturally, and that's how my family and I came to know Christ, because we realized that God really does exist, that He's not just some religious thing where you come to church on a Sunday morning and you see Him, but He wants to be personally involved in your life. I'm saved because of healing. There are many of you. How many would say, I have been healed supernaturally by God? I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high, and now I want you to look around the building, okay? Look at all the people that have their hands raised. I want you to see this. Look around, because some of you need faith to realize that God can heal you. Dave Walters, a few months ago, was healed of a detached retina. We've got Diana Davis and Craig Brannon, who've been healed of cancer. We shared earlier about that man in the food pantry, how God healed his back of severe back pain. Friends, God is in the healing business. He declares in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I am the Lord who heals you. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. Our healing comes from God. Do you realize that it's not cough syrup? Cough syrup doesn't heal us. It's not your medicine. It's not your treatment, but it's God who heals us. God allows the treatment to work or not to work. God is the one who heals us. Last week we saw David sing a song of repentance and confession and restoration, but he also sang a song of healing. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And why is he blessing the Lord? He says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. There is that repentance and restoration that we talked about last week. And then look at the next part, who heals 50% of your diseases. Did I read that right? I think I need a new prescription for my glasses. Okay. He heals 75% of all your diseases. No, okay, 90%? 99.999 repeating? No, he heals, help me, all your diseases. And friends, there are some of you here today, you have a sickness in your body that's making your life miserable. I want you to know, God heals all your diseases. There are some of you here today, you have a disease that threatens to take your life. Friend, God heals all your diseases. Some of you here were born with a physical condition, but God heals all of your diseases. Some of you have been injured somewhere along the line, and that injury is still plaguing you today, but God heals all your diseases. Some of you have a part of your body that has stopped functioning, but God heals. Oh, you're getting to be good preachers this morning. That's right. Some of you have been to the doctors, and there is nothing they can do for you. That's what they told me with my allergies. You have to learn to live with it. Friend, if that's been your prognosis, you don't have to accept it, because God heals all your diseases. Some of you may be barren, not able to have children like Hannah. God heals all your diseases. Some of you may have been carrying this a long time. Nothing is too difficult for God. He heals, help me, all of your diseases. Friends, in a moment, we're going to pray. And if you need healing for your body, we're going to ask you to come forward, and we're going to believe God to heal all your diseases, all of your maladies, all of your physical afflictions, because he is able. He died on the cross, not just for our sin, but by his stripes we are healed. It's not just David's song of repentance and restoration. It's also David and Hannah's song of healing and wholeness in our lives. He heals all our diseases. But friends, that was just the first level of affliction in Hannah's life, the physical affliction. She was afflicted on another level. She also dealt with spiritual affliction. She dealt with spiritual affliction. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. It says, her rival, that would be Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife, also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Now, it was common thought in Bible times that if you were barren, it was because you were under God's judgment. You see, Psalm 127 says that children are an inheritance from the Lord. They're gifts from God. And so if God has not given you this gift, if God has not given you his inheritance, there must be a reason in your life. There's sin in your life. There's something about you. God knows you're not fit to be a mother. You're not fit to have children. And so Hannah is under this cloud of spiritual oppression. God, what is wrong with me? God, why this stigma? It's like I'm cursed. I don't have your favor. And God, I'm seeking you. I love you. She had a pure heart. And yet, it looks like she's cursed of God, that she's under God's judgment instead of his favor and blessing. And so she needs a spiritual healing in her life. And when we look in chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah has been granted her prayer. And this is what she says in chapter 2. This is her song. She says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Circle that word salvation in your Bible, because that word salvation comes from the same Hebrew word for Jesus. And the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word for Jesus means Jehovah saves, and they come from the same words. And so just as Jesus saves us from our sin, he does a work in us spiritually, setting us free from the enemy's bondage. Hannah is saying, I've been set free from the enemy's bondage. God has blessed me. God has shown me his favor. God has healed my reputation. He's restored to me what everyone thought there was something wrong with me. Now I can testify to God that I am whole, that I am in his favor. And there are some of you here today that need a spiritual healing because you feel like you're cursed of God, that you're the black sheep of his family. You feel that you can pray and it doesn't matter. You feel that you don't know what it is. You have sought God for so long, but for some reason, God just doesn't answer you. He doesn't take care of you. And friends, God wants to heal you this morning. God wants you to be at a place where you can smile at your enemy, the devil. That's what Hannah said. I smile at my enemy. Instead of feeling that he is one, that he is greater, that he has the victory, now you have this spiritual healing. You realize that you are the beloved child of God, that he is on your side, and that there is nothing too difficult for him, and that you are the head and not the tail. Aren't you glad for that? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to stand next to an animal, I'm going to stand near the head and not the tail. Two things happen on the tail. One, you get kicked, and the other, you know what happens. Neither one are very nice. And you're the head. You're the beginning. You're not the tail end. You're not getting kicked around all the time by the devil. You are more than a conqueror, and God wants to heal some of you this morning. There are some of you, there's maybe even been people that have told you, well, you're sick or you have this problem because there's sin in your life. I know a precious Christian lady who, when she got cancer, people said, well, it's because you've got sin in your life or something wrong. And that's not true. Friends, we need to be careful not to be judgmental. Later in this, in chapter 1, Eli, the high priest of God, is judgmental. He sees Hannah. She's before God. She's in the temple. She's praying. And she's just gone. She's moving her lips, but nothing's coming out. She's in so much grief. She doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. She can't put into words her pain, but she's just talking to God quietly, and he thinks she's drunk, and he accuses her of being drunk in God's house. And you know something? I have seen Christians sometimes be judgmental and just really attack people that are hurting. Sometimes Christians are the meanest people, and I do not want there to be a judgmental spirit in our church. I heard a story not too long ago of a pastor that was preaching saying, God can use you, even if he can do anything in your life, even if you're wearing holy blue jeans. And after service, he went to a young man, and he said, your hair is too long, you need to get it cut. Friends, I think Jesus had long hair. And he had a beard. We got to quit judging people. We need to be filled with love. And you know what? Sometimes people do bring things on themselves through a sinful lifestyle. But that's not for us to just to make them feel bad. Some of you have been told you're living in sin and you're not. Some of you feel God doesn't hear you, friends. God wants to heal you spiritually today. He heals all your diseases, even your spiritual ones. Let's move on. The last area of affliction Hannah dealt with was emotional affliction. Emotional affliction. In chapter 1, verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? This double portion he gave to her, she did not eat it. Why is your heart grieved? That word grieved, it means to spoil. Like if you put meat or something on the counter and it just sits there and it spoils, it's good for nothing. That's what her heart was like. Her husband says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli the priest was sitting by the doorpost of the Lord. Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Friends, it talks about her heart being spoiled. She could not receive the love and compassion of her husband because of the pain she was in. There was bitterness of soul emotionally. She was a broken-hearted woman that was just really, really hurting. And yet, God healed her. There's some of you here today, you're in a constant state of depression and discouragement. There's some of you here today, you're just consumed by overwhelming grief. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe there's a situation in your life, whatever it is, and you just cannot overcome the grief that has taken hold of you. There's some of you today, you're gripped by fear, and you don't know how to get over it. You have no peace in your life. Your mind is in constant turmoil. Friends, whatever your situation is, God can heal you. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. It's not just to heal the broken bodies, but to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus heals us emotionally. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There are some of you, you've been dealing with oppression and depression for so long, and God wants to set you free today because he's a God of freedom and hope and wholeness. There are some of you here, you'd say, you know what? I'm past the point of feeling. I feel for so long, God has not answered my prayer that I've kind of steeled myself. And yes, I love him. I believe in him. I'm a Christian. But you know, I come to church here when everyone else is just entering in. I just kind of stand there because nothing happens. And I don't want to be disappointed in, again, seeking God and still feeling like he has rejected me and I'm not there. And some of you, you've given up. And there has become a barrenness in your soul. And God wants to restore life to your inner man this morning. God heals all of our diseases. As we wrap things up, two really quick truths about healing that we need to know. And they're in Hannah's song. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Hannah is going to tell us that God is in control. Say control. And who's in control? My wife. No, I mean God. God is in control. Not the government, not your wife, but God is in control, and we have to trust and pursue him continually. Trust and pursue him continually. Hannah says in verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among the princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Friends, what Hannah is saying, God is really in charge. He can help you go from rags to riches. He's the one that is in charge of living and dying and healing and all this stuff. She is saying God is in control. And I have to accept his sovereignty. But in this whole time, Hannah never stopped trusting and pursuing God. She never turned her back. She never quit praying. In fact, year after year, that Elkanah kept going to the house of God. Hannah didn't say, "What good does it do to go? God doesn't do anything anyway." No, she kept going with her family year after year after year after year. And even though she saw no sign of victory, no sign of healing, she said, "I am going to trust and pursue God." Friends, never give up on him. If you feel he's given up on you, he hasn't. That is a lie of the devil. Keep going after him. Trust and pursue him. That's what Hannah teaches us. It says in verse 9, "He'll guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness." Friends, there's two kinds of people. There's saints and the wicked. Now, the saints aren't the New Orleans football players, okay? They're not that team. Saints are not people who are goody-two-shoes and look like they have their acts together. Saints are people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about how good you are, because the Bible says, "None are righteous, no, not one." I used to think if I was a good enough person, I could work my way to heaven. But that whole time, I felt God was distant and far because I was trying to be righteous through my efforts. And you become a saint, we become righteous when we accept the fact that I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me, and I need him to forgive me, and I surrender my life to him. A saint is a person who surrendered their life to God, and the wicked are the lawless who say, "I'm going to be in charge of my own life." And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it says he will guard the feet of his saints, meaning you won't stumble, you won't fall. If you're pursuing him, he won't let you go down a wrong path. The path that you're walking on right now, even though it's dark, even though it's dismal, even though it seems horrible and it's empty, and where is God? He's guarding your feet because you're on his path, because you're pursuing him. Never give up trusting and pursuing God. And the second truth that Hannah teaches us is that Jesus' timing is not our timing. Jesus' timing is not our timing. In verse 7, it says it was year by year. Friends, this had gone on a long time. Year after year after year, Hannah was barren. And we're not told why she had to wait so long. We're not told why she had to wait and see Peninnah have at least 4 kids, and she has none. We're not told that, but in the right time, God gave her a baby. But in her affliction, she kept trusting and pursuing him. You've heard the old expression, "Don't put God in a box." You could also say, "Don't put God on the clock." Don't watch your watch. Watch God. Look to the author and the finisher of your faith and trust and pursue him, because he knows the right time. In the New Testament, we're told a story about a man named Jairus. He has a little girl, a 12-year-old girl, and he comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, my daughter's dying." And so Jesus says, "I'll come to your house." And on their way, there is a lady who has this sickness. She's has internal bleeding, this issue of blood, and she's had it for 12 years, as long as this little girl has been alive. And Jesus stops on the way to this girl who's dying to talk to this lady and then pronounce that she is healed. Now, here's the thing. As he is doing that, when he finishes up, someone comes and says, "Tell Jesus not to come. The little girl is dead." Now, I want you to think about how you'd feel as a father. My daughter is dying. Jesus, why are you talking to this woman? She's had this condition for 12 years, for crying out loud. She's been here for this long. She'll be here another 12 years. Come take care of my daughter first. Why are you delaying the deadly in meeting this need? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, "Don't worry about it. I'm in control. I'm in control." And so he goes to the house, and what does he say to the little girl? He takes her by the hand, and he says, Talitha kume, and what that means, Talitha was a term of endearment. It meant honey. And kumi means get up. He said to her, honey, get up. I want you to think about that, the implication of that. Death is the most difficult situation we probably ever face. It's impossible. I mean, when you die, you're gone. There's nothing else we can do. And friends, when Jesus confronts the most horrific situation that we encounter, the most final, impossible situation, there's no theatrics. You know, you don't hear this music in the background like a Hollywood movie. And he's just, you know, and there's no works, there's no light show. You don't hear this, Father God, in the name of, well, I can't say in the name of Jesus, that's me. Father God, right now, I rebuke this spirit of death. Come out of this little girl. Oh, yeah! I mean, there's none of that. He just says, honey, get up. The most difficult situation. Honey, get up. It's like waking up a little girl from a nap. And he's teaching us that no matter how difficult your situation is, honey, get up. It's just like a little nap. God heals all your diseases. As we close this morning, I've asked Wade and Whitney Holmes to come. Whitney has a story about what God has done for her. And I believe it's going to minister to all of us this morning. It's funny, as I was getting ready for our service this morning, as I prepared the close, I looked at my closing and says, this isn't working. And then I heard this testimony, and I know why.
Hi. So my name is Whitney Holmes, and this is like a really big thing. I usually wouldn't do this, but I really felt prompted by God to do this. And actually, it just worked out because I came in late and Pastor Craig was standing at the door. So I talked to him about it and he's like, all right, let's do it. So I just want to share with you what God had has done just recently as of last night in my life. I had been sick for the last couple of days and just really tired. I came home and I laid down on the couch at our apartment and I asked Wade to pray over me. And so he prayed just this powerful prayer and he spoke in tongues over me and I fell asleep. And I had this crazy dream. I was poisoned, like literally poisoned. And Wade rushed me to the hospital, and I ran upstairs, and I went up to the lady, and I was like, I've been poisoned, like, I need a doctor. And she's like, okay, we'll get to you as soon as we can. And so then it kind of flashes, and I'm in this hospital room, and it's kind of like dim-litted lights, and not actually, I don't remember any lights. I remember it just being just a kind of a dark place. And my sister was there. I still don't really understand the significance of this yet, but my sister was there, and this thing, it had sort of the face of a human, but not, it was on all fours, and it just kept, like, attacking her. And so I stepped in, and I was trying to protect her from this thing, and it just wouldn't give up. And pretty soon, she got taken out of the hospital room. She kind of just disappeared from the dream, and I'm there in the hospital room by myself, and this thing is still there, and it's coming at me, and I'm throwing it across the room, or I'm punching it in the face, and it's relentless. Like, it won't give up. And pretty soon, I'm just getting tired, and I'm getting exhausted, and just feeling frustrated and just a feeling of defeat. And then I woke up. I literally woke up from this dream and I was terrified. I didn't know exactly what it meant. I was scared. I just felt kind of defeated, like this thing was still coming after me, or like it could in real life. And so I called Wade, and he was in the other room, like, doing some school things. And he comes into the living room, and I start to tell him about this dream that I had had. And as I'm doing so, God enlightens me to what it means for me in my life. And basically, a couple of years ago, I ran into an incident where I feel like the enemy really poisoned my mind into thinking that he was more powerful than God. Like, he was this big, strong thing that was going to come in and just destroy my life and take away hope and take away life. And over a couple of years, I started to believe him. I started to believe the lies that he was feeding me. And it breeded just a sense of hopelessness and lifelessness and depression in my life. And right about at that point, I was still awake, but I was closing my eyes as I was telling Wade this dream that I had had and what I thought that God was sharing through it. And I see this picture. I'm back in the hospital room, and it's almost like a vision now. I'm still awake, but I'm closing my eyes, and I just picture myself. I'm back in the hospital room, and this thing is still there, and it just won't give up. And I remember actually speaking in tongues a little bit, and it just kind of backed up a little bit, like, what is that? And then all of a sudden, there's like two double doors, and the hospital doors like swing open, and in steps a doctor. But it wasn't just any doctor. It was the great physician. It was Jesus. And when he came in, he didn't just come in with like, oh, here I am. He came in with power. He was like, here I am. Yes. Like, his arms were spread out like that in the shape of a cross. And there was light coming off of him. And it was just like, he didn't have to say anything to me. And I just knew that he was like taking authority and power and bringing life back into my life. He was basically saying, like, I am here to help you. Like, I am here to fight for you. Like, you've been fighting for too long by yourself, and it only works for a little bit. And really, it doesn't even work because it just breeds a lot of defeat and lifelessness in you. It puts you in a bad spot. And you feel like you can't hear the voice of God. And as I'm like seeing Jesus, I just start crying. And it's just, it's so awesome how God just grabs hold of us, you know. And I feel like there's other people that have gone through what I went through. And God has given me freedom in a matter of a day. And so I guess I just encourage you, if you're in that place, you know, cry out to Jesus. And I feel like the way that God fought for me was through his spirit speaking through, for Wade to pray over me before I fell asleep in tongues. Like, the spirit knew what I needed. He knew what my soul like needed, and God answered the spirit's call on my life. And I feel like as Wade spoke in tongues, it was just God like cutting down the chains that were on me for so long, for the last couple of years. Yeah, I just pray for the church. I know that there's pain, that there's depression and lifelessness in some of us, and I'm a standing testimony of how God can take a bonded up little heart and just break it open.
Amen. Amen.
So.
Jesus came into the room of a little girl. Get up, honey. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.